is a message given in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, August 21st, 2016, by Brother Michael Loy and Brother Roger Fisk. The title of the message is The Three Tabernacles. The scripture verses are Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 through 9, John chapter 1, verse 14, chapter 2, verse 19, Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 to 3, Psalm chapter 84, verses 1 to 12.
So we have come to this message. The title is The Three Tabernacles. But I think it would be good for us also to review what we have covered in the last three messages. Right, the first one is about the golden calf. Right? So we know that even though God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt, yet even after they crossed the sea, we still have this idol in us. The golden calf can come out at any time, and we have to watch out for that. Right. This is the first one. And the second message is that God has his way. God has his way. Amen. Amen. And last week we covered God's purpose is that we serve and we enjoy him. Right. Right. So the bringing us, saving us, redeeming us is the start. Because without redemption, God's purpose can never be achieved. Right. But God has a way. God has a purpose. And also, we should be the one who share, who serve, and also to enjoy. Okay. Right. So, what is God's purpose? What is God's economy? What is God's goal? So, I thought I'll write something down in the thing. Here in Genesis 1:26, what does it say?
God said, let us make man in our image.
Right, image. So it has image and dominion. Image and dominion. So God said that in Genesis 1.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you go all the way to Revelation, what does God say there? There is New Jerusalem, right? And you also will have, we become this corporate God-man that have God's representation and his expression.
Amen.
So that's where we all will be.
Amen.
This is what God wanted. Okay, so then in this message, we're going to cover this topic of the three tabernacles. Now, this does not mean that there are three tabernacles.
Right.
We are talking about a tabernacle in three stages or three aspects. Okay. So the first one is type. So now to get to the type is actually a structure. Okay, I'll write it down. A structure. It's a structure, and we will show the diagram later. But this type is a structure.
Right.
It has to be built by the people. Okay. But God had to tell somebody how to build this. And as we know, Moses was with God for 40 days, 40 nights. And now you might think that that's That's a long, long time. Certainly the Israelites think it was too long. So then the golden calf came out. But God has to tell Moses how to build the tabernacle. And that's in God's heart. So this is the structure, and we will talk more about this later on today. Okay. So that is in the Old Testament. Okay. Now the second aspect of the tabernacle is the realization or the reality. Okay, right there. Now this is the New Testament. Now this reality, is it a structure? It was a structure. And then what happened? Christ here. So in here, in the New Testament, it is actually Christ. Christ individually, but also corporate.
Amen.
Individual and corporate. So first is individual, and then become corporate. That include all of us.
Amen.
Right? That include all of us.
Right.
And when this sister baptized on Friday, part of this incorporation.
Amen.
Right? Part of this. And we will, that's moving toward here.
Right. Amen. Okay. Right.
Now what will be here?
Yeah.
Right? Here is the in eternity, right? This God wants a, okay, now I got to write this down. This is difficult to remember. So what we want is a, what God wants is a divine and also human incorporation. Okay. It is the triune God with man. Okay, so this is New Jerusalem. But this man is not the fallen man.
No.
This man has to be glorified man.
Amen.
Right? Because otherwise we will be consumed in God's presence, right? Okay, now we're here. In this step, God needs who? God needs Moses. And God needs Moses, and God needs actually the Israelites to build a temple.
Amen.
Here is Christ and it's us.
Amen.
Here we need triune God and all men, but glorified.
Amen.
So from here to here, what happened? So are we ready to be in New Jerusalem? Are we fully sanctified, can be in the presence of God, be his expression, and be his representation? Are we ready? We will be ready.
Amen.
But we are not yet ready. Right. And so there is a process that has to be there.
Amen.
But we should know that we are in God's plan.
Amen.
No, we are in God's plan. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, when the sport team change coach, the coach look around and look at the people and say, okay, Roger, he was a great player, but he's getting old. I don't want him. He's no longer in the plan. But praise the Lord, we are in the plan. We are in God's plan. So none of us, we all will be there. No exception. And so in this message, we will look at the tabernacle and the diagram of the tabernacle. Hopefully it could be shown. Can I have that picture of the tabernacle up there? There it is. Okay. I forgot to point a pointer, but okay. So this is the tabernacle of the picture, and the door is on this side. Okay, and the first thing you will see is the altar of burnt offerings,
right, which
is made out of bronze. And so let's for short call it the bronze altar. Okay, the bronze altar. And this is where the offering were made. And this in typology is Christ redeem us by his on the cross. So this is the typology, the bronze offering, okay? And then it goes in, and there's a laver which is for water, for cleansing, and then they can go into the holy place. The holy place has on one side the table of the bread of the presence, the other side has a lampstand, and then we go to the incense altar. So the incense altar is made out of one material, gold. So let's call that the gold altar, with the golden altar. The one is bronze, the other is golden altar. Okay. Now, we need redemption. We need redemption. Every day we need redemption, right? We cannot say, okay, Christ has redeemed us once and I'm good, okay? Just remember the golden calf. The golden calf is still in us. So we need salvation. Sorry. So we need to go through the bronze altar every day, every minute, every second, actually. Okay. So we are not ready, but praise the Lord, we have this way that we can enter. So the tabernacle is what God has made that allows sinners to be redeemed through this, and this is again a daily matter, can go in.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord, we have all been redeemed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord, we have been redeemed.
Amen.
But this is only the first step.
Yeah.
This is the entrance.
Right.
This is the entrance. It is the first step.
Right.
Okay. So, after the meeting, you know, we will go next door to eat food. Praise the Lord for all the good food in there. Well, you have to go through the entrance, right? But you don't go to the entrance and then stay there, right? You go to the food, right? You go to the food. You do not stay at the entrance, right? So again, here, it's the same thing. God allow us, praise the Lord, because of Christ, we can be redeemed, so we can go in. But we go in, we should go through the laver, and then eventually go through the golden incense altar.
Amen.
Now, I will not share too much. Let me just say this one for brothers and sisters. This message is not easy to share. Okay, but I can tell you, if you find it difficult, when the time for prophesying, you come out and try to share what you have. That is the way you get it, okay?
That's right.
If you just listen, you won't get it, okay? I have been a professor for many years. I know whatever I say, I do not know how much people down in the lecture hall get, okay?
Right.
I have to get them to come and say,
yeah,
and then you get it. So, okay, so just remember this. Okay, so here, we will go from here, but what God wants, now what does this typology is? This is the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
This is the resurrected Christ. And it is through this process coming in that we can then meet God in his presence.
Amen.
Now in here, God's purpose is a divine human incorporation. We have to be in the presence of God. And how do we get prepared to be in the presence of God? How do we get to this stage? It is by going through this daily.
Amen.
Take the blood, enjoy the redemption, but go through the laver the lampstand, the bread, and then to the golden altar that we can, in prayer, in the presence of God. And this is how we can be incorporated, we can be daily incorporated into God. And then we can move along this way, and eventually God's Amen. Purpose will be realized.
Amen.
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 So I think I will leave the rest of time for Roger. And more time for you to share also.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. It's really a rich portion. And as Brother Michael said, it is not that easy of a message. I think it's the longest message I've ever seen in a Living Stream Ministry outline, like 9 points. But it's really rich. It's packed. And I mean, on the one hand, you have to see that God had a vision and there is a consummation,
right,
which we are entering into today. And here we have the tabernacle, which eventually merges and becomes the temple. The furnishings, and if you can see in 1 Kings chapter 8, are then moved into the temple that David had desired to build and that Solomon was building, right? And then the Lord Jesus comes as a man, as the embodiment in whom the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell bodily. Hallelujah! Right? As the reality of this type, right? This is a picture, a lot of physical things to show us a spiritual reality, including this furniture. All of this furniture has a spiritual reality, and I know many of us have enjoyed those things. But Christ comes, and he shares a little window in John that he says, "You will destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And then John points out, but he was talking about his body, right? That's the real temple. And then in Corinthians, we are all the temple, right? We're all in the temple with the Lord. And eventually that's what we see, the temple, the tabernacle, one with God. In a sense, God is wearing the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're right there in that incorporation with him. But from here to here is a process. So, but what I really enjoyed is that as much as this message is, and as many points as there are, and technical details, there's actually a chapter in the Bible, in the Psalms, where the psalmist is speaking in such a poetic and beautiful way about some of these matters and some of the experiences required to bring us all the way. So maybe if we could go to Psalm 84, that'd be helpful. Can you pull it up there? That's fast. Hallelujah. So the psalmist writes, "How lovely are your tabernacles, O Jehovah of hosts." Praise the Lord. You know, the house here, we see it in verse 1, we see it in verse 4, we see it in verse 10. And we can say that the house is the center of this secret revelation of Christ as the fulfillment of the tabernacle in reality. And that we need to enjoy him. But here, "How lovely are your tabernacles." And then this verse, so good. "My soul longs, indeed even faints, for the courts of Jehovah." With the longing, we see a loving desire. But then he uses this word faints, right? Faints. My heart faints. Have we ever had the experience of our heart fainting, right? Brother Lee points out that this psalm is written not in the early stage, but actually after some experiences. And if we go backwards in the Psalms, back to 73, we can see that the psalmist at this point had a point where he almost got stumbled in his faith. Actually, the wording there says in 73, I don't know, the brothers, I didn't warn them about this verse, but says that "my feet were nearly turned aside. My steps had almost slipped." He almost stumbled, right?
Yeah.
What was it that caused the psalmist to stumble? Actually, if we read further, he talks about how the unrighteous, right, there's no pangs in their death. Their bodies are well nourished. They seem to have no problems. But me, I'm worshiping Jehovah, and I have all kinds of problems. This was a bother to him. But he also says in verse 17 that when he went into the sanctuary of God, then he perceived the matter. And he could see that actually God is the great judge. You may not see it right now. There may be a period of time where it seems that there's unrighteousness, inequity, but actually God is the great judge. And righteousness is the foundation of his throne. And so eventually he is counseled back into the fellowship with the Lord. There's a kind of an early stumbling, you could say. Then in verse 80, we see that the Lord went to Egypt and took out, chapter 80 of Psalms, took out the vine, right, which is the children of Israel, and he prepares the good land and he plants the vine. And the vine flourishes. But then, after a period of time, there was a need for restoration. So in verse 12, he says, "Why have you broken down its hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck it? The boar from the forest ravages it. And also the boar of the field moves through and feeds on it." That's verse 13. And so what is it, right? The Lord has a move. He plants the children of Israel in the good land to enjoy Christ, right? But then in comes something to ravage it, right? And, you know, the ones who pass by pluck it, right? It feels like for the saints, the world sometimes, they never help us to sing the praise to the Lord. Sometimes they're plucking, right? Just plucking. You know, the meeting hall in Manhattan, right next to us is a giant wall. And people come and spray paint on that wall. They're just plucking, right? They don't know what they're doing. But then the boar comes and ravages. You know, there is an enemy of God who is always active, right? From the forest, from the field, to ravage the people of God. This is in the Old Testament, it's our experience today. But hallelujah, we're not defeated. This psalm is a psalm for restoration. Hallelujah. And I really enjoyed, you know, there's the Son of Man in this psalm, and at the very end, there is revive us, right? Revive us, and we will call upon your name.
Amen.
Do you know what we need for revival? Calling on his name. Hallelujah. It's the same. The Old Testament, New Testament, when we come to the church, after we've been in the church, after we've been ravaged, we call on his name, we get restored. Hallelujah. So I enjoyed that very much. But that's the context of this Psalm 84 concerning the fainting, right? After we've been through some experiences in the church life, maybe we need a situation where we need the Lord to restore us. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. And then here's this reference. At the two altars, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. And so these are, the two altars that Brother Michael was pointing out, right? The bronze altar and the gold altar. They're almost like the bookends of the tabernacle, you could say. We experience the cross of Christ, right? We experience being redeemed, right, by the Lord, judicially. But then after we pass this, we have the experience of the labor, right? We have the showbread table, the lampstand, eventually bringing us to the incense altar where Christ in resurrection is offered as an incense to God, and God accepts him. And when he accepts him, he accepts us.
Amen.
Hallelujah, we get accepted by God.
Amen.
It's wonderful. That's how it can be that these two altars are our home. We live here.
Amen.
This is our home.
Amen.
You know, Michelle and I, we bought a house this year. This is our home right here. Now you've seen our home. Praise the Lord. This is our furniture. But seriously, this is where we live. Hallelujah. And the psalmist's utterance is so beautiful. A sparrow. You know, sparrows are not that strong. They are not majestic eagles. They are little birds, right? Do you ever feel like a little bird? Just a little power? Oh, Lord, right? In Philadelphia, you have a little power. You've not denied my name. We're just sparrows, saints. We're not big, mighty ones. We're just sparrows. But we found our home. Hallelujah. Our home is in the church, right? It's right here in God's home. And so we experience the cross, and we experience the altar, which qualifies us to enter the house, right? And then over here, we experience Christ as the incense altar offered to God. We're accepted by God, and now we enter into fellowship with God, with Christ as the ark. And this is where we're just positioned there. It's our home. It's where we are. So that was the other thing I really also enjoyed. And this is so beautiful. The swallow has a nest. Did anyone enjoy that word, nest?
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet, Jared? There's a nest. What's a nest for? A nest is for laying eggs and hatching eggs, raising up little brood of birds, right? You know, of course, this is the gospel, right? When we preach the gospel, we're begetting little people for God's kingdom. And they're full grown, but they're young in their experience of the Lord, and they have to grow up. So there's the nursing sparrow, right? Who's the brooding sparrow, bringing forth the life with her young in the nest. But the nest is also our experience of the cross, right? That we need to stay home in the cross of Christ, right? Stay home in the death of Christ. When we are there in those experiences, it's not easy. You just want to get out of there, right? But to remain in the death of Christ, we get produced as the pearl. Hallelujah, right? And we know there's such rich fellowship on all these matters. But this matter of a nest, and I want to just open up my heart to you, saints, and say this. We have gospel context. Well, we also, Michelle and I, we have children. And lately the Lord has been touching me very much. I need to bring my children, my little sparrowlets, whatever you call little baby sparrows. I want to bring those young to the church life that I came to, right? You know, I came to the church life several decades ago on the other coast. And it was so wonderful, and I gave my life to the Lord and to the church life, right? And then, now decades later, there are little sparrows that we want to bring those ones and lay them there to be raised in the church life. But what kind of church life will they be raised in? Well, it needs to be a vital church life, the same church life I gave myself to, right? So we just go on with him. We stay home, and we go on with him. And then I really enjoyed this next verse. About being blessed to dwell in the house and to praise him. We have to praise him. Hallelujah. And then also this matter, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Hallelujah. This is actually a highway to Zion. Praise the Lord. And this is not an outward matter. It is something in our hearts that we are, on the one hand, we came to the church, but on the other hand, right? On the one hand, we're in, but on the other hand, we're always doing this. You know, there is traffic in this house, and actually, it's a highway Amen. To Zion.
Amen.
Right? It's not back and forth. It's that as we go forward, we're constituted with him a little more. We become fit, like Brother Michael was saying, to be in this consummation, to be with the Lord all the time, Amen. Right? To be his expression and his representation. So there's so much here. The last thing I wanted to mention, I think, feel my time is almost up here, is that they pass through the valley of Baca, and I think a lot of saints will have a lot to share about this. They pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. And, you know, the Baca is the valley of weeping. That's what the footnote says, and I think many of us are familiar with that. It's a valley of weeping. It isn't always happy times, right? Maybe we start that way, but we may have some experiences before too long of the weeping. But they make it a place of springs. I was very touched by that, that it's a matter of the Lord turning, you know, in these earlier Psalms we read about how, well, you didn't read it, but it's there, that they were fed tears, right? And they drank tears from the Lord, right? A lot of tears. But those tears become a spring. It's really the Lord. It's mystical. But here it says they make it a spring, right? They don't just sit back passively. If you just have tears, you'll eventually become bitter. That happens to a lot of people. And I'm not talking about the saints. I'm just talking about people. But for us, we could become that way too if we don't come to the Lord, right? This is where they make it. They have a little power. They exercise their will to say, Lord, I'm choosing you. Amen. Lord, turn this into a spring. It won't be tears only. It will be a spring. Amen. Hallelujah. Out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So the Lord does this. It's a miracle. It's mysterious. It's wonderful. It's God's house. So, amen. I'm going to stop here. There's much more to share, and I know all of you have a lot to share. So please, don't be shy. Bring out your portion and share it with the body.